I'm recording, guys. Oh, we can just edit it.
I think we can all squish in.
Squeeze.
Oh, yeah,
squeeze.
Sure.
A blanket.
Yay, a blanket. This is the blanket that is so nice.
Maybe.
No.
Maybe. Oh, thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, friend.
This is Bold Moves for Real Life. Season two, episode six. Yeah. Thanks for joining us all. Okay. So, like we said, we're doing a Q&A tonight, so we're pretty pumped about that. We already have some questions that were sent in, so stay tuned for some good questions. So, before we get into all the good stuff, jitzels, ladies. So, my jitzel happened yesterday during my test. So, I was taking my anatomy test, and it was a very tough test. Me and Mary Rose felt like we were studying for a final. We were really struggling to study.
Never look at the lymphatic system the same.
No, it was painful how much we hated studying. Anyway, so we get the test, and in how the instructor does it is she gives out three versions of the test. So she gives out A, B, and C. And we're in a big lecture hall. There's like over 200 people. And so I have version A. And so I'm like 5 minutes into the test. I think I was on question seven. I'm still on the first page. And all of a sudden the professor goes, "Everybody stop. Whoever has version A, go to the back. The answer key is taped to the back. You need to send it to the aisle. Like, turn it in right now."
She's like, "Now."
She was mad. Oh, because she knew she, like, made a mistake. And obviously, like, there's going to be people that, like, cheat or whatever. And so I was like, shoot. Like, I have version A. And so I went to the back. And at first, I couldn't find it. I think Mary Rose, you saw me in the back. I was where is it? And I was, like, expecting to see, like, a list of questions and then, like, answers filled in. But it was literally just a sheet with, like, A, B, C, D, E, whatever, written down the sheet. And so I couldn't see it at first, and I finally found it, and I just, like, turned it in, didn't even look, but it was so tempting, you guys. The amount, like, part of me really wanted to look, but I was like, okay, no. You're going to feel really bad if you look, and then, like, you know, you're going to be like, wow, I didn't earn that grade.
Right.
So I didn't look, but I was very jitzled, and I was like, this is really throwing me. So that was probably my big jitzel. I had a few other jitzels, but that's the only one that's coming to mind right now. So I had the opportunity to cheat, but I didn't.
But I think my jitzel would be, I have an assignment. I'm in an intro to video and audio production class, and I had an assignment due where I had to do multiple things that I've never done before in my entire life, which includes checking out a camera from SIUE's, like, department. I don't know, mass comm department. It was a time, and I went up and I said, "I don't know what I'm doing. I need the camera in the silver box." And he kind of, like, helped me through it. But so that was, like, the first step. And that also, so, like, he kind of only gave us a week to get a list of, like, 18 different, like, video camera shots.
Whoa.
Like, oh, zoom in, like, zoom, pan, tilt, like, different, like, camera movements that you see in, like, movies and stuff. So we had to, like, film a 60-second video with no audio and just, like, include all of the camera movements. I was like, well, shoot, I've never operated, like, a real camera before in my life either. And also, we only have 7 days to do this, so I have to do it. And I was going home that weekend, and so I was like, well, I have to do this today and figure out an entire plot to what I'm gonna do these camera movements to. And it was rough, but so that was kind of like my jitzel, and I was freaking out, and there was a lot of stuff. But then Maggie and Jonah were there at the dome to help me kind of formulate somewhat of a plot, and it turned out to be kind of iconic. So
it was so fun. I'm excited to see it.
I
played a really dumb person who didn't know how to use a water fountain, so that was really fun.
But in the final cut, though, it didn't really seem like that.
Yeah,
it was just a plot of it was hot outside and you needed water.
That's good.
And it, guys, get this, it turned into like a Cougar Catholic promo at the
end
because we included the Cougar Catholic cup, and it literally ends on the logo. And
I
was like,
That's good stuff.
So yeah, that was something. I was kind of stressing about that, but then I found out, I come to class, there's only three people in the class instead of the seven. So the big class of seven that there usually is.
Is this the one that you don't like?
Yeah. And so, like, it was only three of us, and I was the only one who actually got my film that we needed, and everybody else was like,
high five.
Thank you. Everybody else is like making excuses and this and that, but I didn't. So I'm kind of proud of myself. But then I had to sit through, we went over. That class is 2.5 hours and we went 5 minutes over.
Ooh, yikes.
I said, at least have the respect to let us out on time.
Is that a once a week class?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, my jet's full. Couldn't really think of anything, so I burnt my hand on the oven last night.
No.
Because I was making roasted potatoes for dinner for everyone.
Her food was really yummy, though. The roasted potatoes, so good.
Thank you. Thank
you. Sorry you got burned, man. It's
okay.
Yeah. Ouchie.
My mom asked when they could see the video. So I'll send it to you guys. maybe I'll post it on the Cougar Cat.
Oh, that'd be yes. So fun. Do it.
We'll see.
Okay, now we have fun and fresh. Emro, take it away.
Okay, first on fun and fresh is Eckert's.
Okay, so Eckert's. If anyone does not know what Eckert's, where's the phone? Where Eckert's is. It's a pumpkin and apple patch, and then, like, I guess you could call it, like, a country store. Like, it has a lot of cutesy things, like homemade apple butter and baked goods and all, like, the cutesy little fall things you ever want. And our favorite thing, caramel apple saltwater tea.
Yeah, it's so, they're so yummy.
Sorry.
It's okay. But, yes, I wish you guys could taste these because they're really good.
Phenomenal. So, Eckert's, if you want a cute little fall outing, mm-hmm. I believe there's two locations by us.
Grafton and Belleville, Illinois.
There we go. And then we have some saints, and one saint and one almost saint to shout out.
Yes.
So, on the first of this month, it was our gal pal, Saint Therese. It was her feast day.
I freaking love her.
So that was a pretty good day.
Yeah, it was awesome. A great day. Me and Emro skipped our 8 a.m.
We did.
And went to Mass. And it was so worth it. We didn't really do much in our 8 a.m. anyway. And Mass was so good. And it was just really nice to go. And, at the Mass, this was pretty fun and fresh. There were the little kids from St. Boniface.
Oh, it was so cute.
They came in, like, red, and they were the kindergartners and first graders. And they adorable. Were so sweet in their little uniforms. So sweet. And, like, one of the kids kept, like, the teacher kept getting mad because he would not sit still in front of us. It was really cute.
That was really cute.
But, yeah, it was a good time.
So, St. Therese, our gal. Everyone's gal.
Yeah, if you don't know about St. Therese, you need to look her up because she's awesome.
She'll become your best friend.
Yeah, she'll become your best friend. And as Father Rob likes to say, she doesn't miss. Mm-mm. So if you need her, she's there.
She's got you. She gets us a parking space, like,
every single day. Time. I'll be like, St. Therese, help me out.
Girlfriend, we need one. Boom. Right there.
Yeah.
Next. So this little guy holds a special place in our heart. Because he's kind of the reason we met.
Yeah.
Blessed John Newman. So, Blessed John Newman kind of started the Newman Centers at universities. So, he was big into just getting, I guess, the Catholic faith on universities, or in universities, and getting just, like, groups established. So, he is going to be He's going to be canonized October 13th.
So, which is this Sunday.
This Sunday, yeah.
So we're going to have a Mass for him at a celebration Mass at Newman, mm-hmm. and it'll be really fun. And I think tomorrow night for Newman night, we're having a speaker come in and talking to us about more about his life and who he was and what he did. So
it would be really interesting to learn because, like, we say his name every day.
Right.
But we don't really know much about him.
Anything about
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be really, really cool to kind of hear where we came from.
Yeah.
And then the last one, I'm going to let Ken's take over.
So my jizzle, I mentioned I had to go home that one weekend. That reason is the fun and fresh reason of my sister Katie's baby shower.
Yay! And, yes, babies.
Yay. So exciting and so fun and just so awesome being around them. And I felt the baby kick for the first time.
Oh, that's so cool. So
that was really exciting. I don't know. Yeah. It's really awesome. I'm really excited. Kenzie's going to be an aunt.
Auntie Ken's.
Yes. Either Aunt Ken's or Auntie Poo-Poo.
Poo-Poo.
Yes. That's what we decided.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's good.
So we'll see.
Yay.
Whatever the baby can say first.
Right.
Go.
Might be Poo-Poo.
It might probably be Poo-Poo.
Auntie
but that's
Poo-Poo.
Okay. I'm fine with it.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's
so good. That was so much.
So how do you spell poo-poo? Is it P-O-O-P-O-O?
P-O-O space P-O-O.
Oh, okay.
Yes, very precise. Mm-hmm. Don't mess it up. I get offended.
No. Can't do that.
Yeah.
All right, so that pretty much wraps up our fun and fresh.
It does.
So how do we want to do this? Do we want to answer some of our live listeners' questions, or do we want to answer some of the questions we have here? How do we want to do it?
Yeah, I guess maybe, like, give them a chance. Yeah. So, like, now's your chance. Drop any comments, concerns, you know,
yeah,
inputs.
Anything. Yeah, they don't have to be questions, honestly. Mm-mm. If you just want to be, like...
I had a jitzel today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
We'd love to hear.
Okay. So, should we take...
Yeah. First, okay, so the first one we'll do is for my mom.
Mama Michelle.
She doesn't have an Instagram, so she's not tuning in, but she'll listen when this is up. But her question to us was, how do you feel your faith helps you get through the stress of college life? Mm. What do you girls think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's the only thing that gets me through, to be honest.
Honestly?
Because, like, yeah. Even going through, like, the little things, like, sometimes it's, like, you guys who help me through or, like, family that helps me through. So, like, but still in that, faith is very much so related. So,
absolutely.
I don't know. I feel like it's all just interconnected with faith,
right?
Honestly, mm-hmm. in life, you know. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that's definitely been a super strong thing for me when times just get tough and just, like, scary hard and annoying is, like, the first thing I want to do is just go to the chapel.
Yeah.
And, like, just sit and be, like, listen. Or the best thing is, like, finding a nice, quiet place and just, like, praying out loud.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my absolute favorite thing
or
to
in
do.
The car. Sometimes yes. I'll be, like, parked and I just start. Sorry, we are getting loud noises above us.
We think they have a basketball court up there.
Sounds like it. So we're sorry if you can hear that. Anyway... But yeah, go ahead. What were you saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's about it.
In the car. Sometimes I'll be just, like, parked, and I'm just, like, talking out loud in the car. It's really good.
Yeah. My favorite thing, I don't know if it was, like, Father Rob or something, that told me to imagine, like, if I'm ever alone, like, praying, to imagine, like, Jesus sitting next to you, and that's my favorite place to do it, is, like, in the car.
I love
that. Like, just in the passenger seat, nice and buckled up, listening.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
I love that.
What I love, I remember I saw this, like, illustration, or heard someone talk about this prayer, and it's, like, imagine laying in, like, either Jesus or, like, the Virgin Mary's lap. And they're, like, aww. Like stroking your hair or something, aww. Like, when you're, like, can't do it anymore, you know? Where it's, like, so much stress is overcoming you, like, that. Because it's, like, so, such a maternal, like, comfortable feeling.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I really like doing that. And just, like, again, like your girl said, just letting it out. Yeah. Like, that's the best. It's so therapeutic.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jesus is never going to get tired of hearing you. Yeah. So that's the beautiful thing about it.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, even today I felt like, today, I mean, Kenzie knows, we were at work at the Dome, and we were kind of, everything was going on. We had so many things to do, and everything was flustered, and just nothing was really going right, like, we needed it to. And I was already planning on, like, I needed to just go to the chapel, because I was already kind of feeling overwhelmed even before I was at the Dome. I was like, okay, I'll just take, like, a little bit of time to just go and pray. And I sat in the chapel, and I literally just started, like you said, like, I talked out loud. And it was so, like, therapeutic. Like, I literally felt like I was just like, okay, not everything is so big now. Like, now that I'm saying it out loud.
Right.
Like, it's not that big of a deal now that I'm talking about it. And so I feel like it's just those moments that, like, your faith can just, like, lift you kind of, not above the situation, but kind of, like, make you take a step outside of where you are and look and be like, okay, this isn't as big as I'm making it to be. And, like, these are all the resources I have, and these are all the people I have, and, like, these are all the things God has given me right now to, like, get me through this.
Yeah. That's so true. And then, like, there's also that fact of, I feel like time and time again when I'm in those situations, I was like, I don't know what you want me to do right now about this, you know, Lord, like, help me out. I know that I'm gonna have to make a decision. I don't know, like, what decision it is, like, how am I gonna make this better, this and blah, blah, blah. Like, just kind of, like, ranting like that is how I start mm-hmm. a lot of those prayers. And then, like, without me even knowing it, he, like, enters in my heart and, like, answers
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that's what, like, I felt like today. I literally said something out loud. I was like, can you, like, make this clear to me? And then, like, as I was saying it, I was like, oh, wait, Maggie, no, this makes sense. And I, like,
right.
literally,
what
I was like,
right.
oh, my gosh. Yeah.
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 Craziness.
That's good.
So good.
So, Mom, I hope that answers your questions. I kind of went off, but it was good. Okay, so we'll go to our next one here. This is from Father Rob. Our question here is, what does it mean to suffer the coming of Christ? And Father Rob says, in your heart, minds, lives, and wounds. So he gave us a deep
question.
Yeah. So.
Whoa. Okay, so I feel like when I first read that, it's like, suffer the coming of Christ. I feel like that means that when you have Christ in your life, like, you're gonna see your wounds. You're gonna see, like, pain. You're gonna mm-hmm. see, like, things that you maybe didn't want to see before, because, like, God wants to come into those places. And, like, I feel like sometimes it can feel overwhelming in the sense of, like, why am I doing this faith thing sometimes? Like, I feel like my life was easier before, or like all these things. But I think it goes back to what we were reading in the book study this week of just like, this isn't an easy path, and like, we're not called to an easy road, but we're called to like, what was it? The faith of the cross. Like, we aren't called to an easy faith, but we're called mm-hmm. to a faith of the cross. So I think when we let Jesus into our lives, like, there's going to be crosses, and there's going to be things that come up that we're like, shoot, like, I can't get through this unless I have Christ. Mm-hmm. Or I can't, sometimes I get in the point of, like, I don't know, I think it was in my prayer today when I was talking, and I was like, I don't even know what's in my heart right now, God, like, so I need you to show me, because mm-hmm. I feel like something's going on, but I can't figure it out, so I need you to tell me, and I need you to show me how to deal with it, because I don't even know myself what's going on.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just, like, inviting God into your suffering and into those places, even when it feels like he's not there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know if that answers.
Because exactly what you were saying was what I was thinking of, like, I think the prime example of honestly suffering the coming of Christ into our hearts and minds and souls are those moments where we're, like, the I don't know moments, you know, mm-hmm. that we always talk about, of just, like, yeah. sitting there and trying to explain to someone what you're feeling, but you literally just don't know, and you just aren't taking time to allow Christ in and, like, take over those situations. But I think, like, those times are so incredibly crazy hard and scary and dark, but in that comes so much beauty of letting Christ in. So I think that's the suffering part of it, of like our human nature to like put up a guard, and right, I don't like that, and it's too deep, too much right now, and I don't know, but like Christ knows mm-hmm. he knows that it's okay, and he knows when mm-hmm. like his timing is perfect mm-hmm. so
right
yeah I don't know.
And I feel like when we're, I feel like there's a lot of things in our hearts, in our lives that happen to us that we can't control, or that, you know, we've been hurt in the past. And I think I know myself, I put walls up, and so then I can't deal with those things because I obviously put walls up. But I feel like when Christ comes into your life, he doesn't want those walls there, and he wants you to be free. So he's going to like call you to like look at those places, and he's going to not like force you, I don't want to say, but he's going to like kind of take your hand and be like, okay, Maggie, like look at this. You need to look at this, and like, I want you to be free from this because I am, like, greater than that.
Kind of right. thing. Yeah. And I feel like kind of how we were talking about before, but having, like, pain or fear or dealing with, like, forgiving someone that you don't want to forgive, it seems, like, so impossible. Mm. And you're like, there's no way I can do that. Like, there's no way I can forgive that person. There's no way I can deal with this pain. Like, how? But it's like you sit down with Christ and you talk through it with him and you're like, just lead me the way you want me to go. Then it just becomes clear, and it becomes not so scary, not so dark. And I feel like a lot of times, like you were saying, as humans, we want to do it all ourselves. We want to fix it. We want to just, like, say, no, I'm not going to feel that because it doesn't feel good at all. So I'm just going to push it all completely right. away. But I think by allowing ourselves to feel that pain and to feel that heartache and suffering, it invites God into our lives, like, in a way that he can't be in certain ways. Right. I think it's so beautiful that we, like, install that trust in him. And we're like, okay, God, this hurts, like, so bad. Like, I've never hurt like this before, but, like, I know you're right there. I know right. you've got me. I know you're holding my hand through it. Right. And, like, I'm going to put it all on the altar for you. I'm going to give it to you. And I know, like, that's why you're on the cross. Like, you're taking my pain away. Mm-hmm. I feel like just sitting down with him and being, like, straight up, like, this is what I want yeah. to be fixed. And, like, I don't know how it's going to be fixed, but, like, I know you can do it. Right. I feel like just, like, taking it off and your shoulders just giving it to him. That just
yeah
helps.
Exactly.
yeah. And I think it's one of the, at least for me, is like, I feel like in my mind, I want it to be like an instant like fix kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Of like, this is going on and I want you to fix it right now. But like, I feel like it doesn't work that way at all. And he takes you very slow. And sometimes you're like, okay, I know something's going on, but I don't know what it is and I want to figure it out. But he's going to like he's going to reveal those layers very slowly, I feel like, because mm-hmm. you're not ready to see it all at once.
No.
And so I found that it's definitely a journey, and it's definitely a process. And I think it's just, like, a continuous growing, because you're not right. going to, like, God's not going to come into your life, like, in a flash and just, like, reveal everything to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this part of, I think part of the suffering is, like, enduring, and, like, it's, like, kind of the enduring it with him, kind of. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes
and
sense.
And I think, a big part of suffering is, like, even though God doesn't want you to feel pain or anything like that, he never wants you to feel that. But maybe that's a way for, one, like you to get closer to him or to.
Oh, absolutely.
Like in a way he's giving you a gift, so maybe you can help someone down the road who's struggling with the same thing or relate to someone in a way like they haven't been related to, but like you've gone through that, you've experienced, and like, okay, like this is what I did to help myself through it. And I think that's a beautiful gift to be able to like empathize with someone in that way.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes too, kind of going into the life, like what does it mean to suffer the coming of Christ into your life, kind of goes off of that idea of that, like, God doesn't want us to suffer. That's not his goal or his plan. Right. But some of the things that we consider suffering for Christ or, like, for the coming of Christ are only that way because culture tells us that it's suffering. Mm. Or, like, society tells us it's that way. And, like, it should, like, it's hard because it's so counterculture sometimes what we're called to do in Christ. So, like, I don't know. That's just another aspect of it, of thinking, like, yes, of course, like, I feel like we've all kind of experienced this year and last year of, like, suffering the coming of Christ into our hearts and our wounds, because that's kind of something that was, like, kind of hit me off, like, caught me off track this year, last year.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, also, like, recognizing the little things of coming Christ into, like, your just everyday life, of those things that we suffer through daily that, like, it's not necessarily him hurting us in any way or, like, it being painful, but it's just hard because we're striving for him and striving for heaven, and that's just not what our society is about today, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a cool thing of, like, suffering for a greater joy.
Mm.
Like, we suffer those wounds and, like, those things in our life, but it's because of a greater purpose, and it's because God is calling us to heaven and, like, calling us to be saints and for just a greater purpose in our lives, I think. I always think about something Father Rob says, like, about, like, your heart. Like, God knows the love your heart, like, deserves. And, like, your the love you envision, like, isn't even as much love as God wants to give you.
Right.
So, yeah. That's just something that I think about a lot. Yeah, okay, that was a good
question. Good question.
Oh, Josh had a question.
Oh, okay.
What is your favorite Bible verse, story, parable, and why?
Oof. Oh, wow, Bible verse, story, or so like all three, or like
or
one?
Or probably just one. Of them. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like,
okay.
I remember, I always, like, whenever I get asked when I was younger, like, what was your favorite, like, what's your favorite Bible story? I would always say the wedding feast at Cana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I was younger, I was like, oh, it's a wedding. I like weddings. Like, I can picture myself there. I can put myself in the scene. Like, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, looking back at it, like, knowing more now, I love it because it depicts, like, such a beautiful picture, and, like, it depicts Mary as so human and so motherly and, like, in a wonderful picture and place. And then just the way Jesus is like, yeah, like, I can do that. Just, right. Okay, cool. It just, it's so, I feel like, just beautiful that how, I don't know, simple it is.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, it's easy to understand, and then it just shows, like, yes, they're human, but they're not, you know?
Right, yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
I think it's cool that Mary knew before Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, that whole thing of, like, Mary knew that this was Jesus' time even before Jesus knew.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, just her, it shows her, like, motherly intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's cool.
I don't know. That's really hard. It's always been so hard for me to pick one, you know? I don't know. It's just weird picking one to me. But one that I always kind of have come back to ever since, it's so crazy because it's, like, the smallest thing. It's not even, like, a crazy giant verse or something that I can't even tell you what book it's in or whatever place it's. I couldn't even find it, to be honest. I had to, like, search it. But we were reading in small group one time, this one passage, and the point came, I think it was the one where it was, like, not judging your neighbor, and that, like, who are you to judge the neighbor for the stick in his eye when you have a log in your own?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, it kind of goes into, it might be about, like, the Beatitudes and stuff or something, but then it talks about, like, then gifts will be poured onto your lap, overflowing, like, this and that. Just, like,
yes.
Great adjectives and such great imagery.
I feel like it's in Luke for some reason that's going on. I remember when we did it in small groups.
I think so,
yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just always come back to that when I'm, like, overwhelmed with grace. I come back to that of, like, recognizing that feeling and just, like, I know exactly what you mean. Like, it's overflowing. Like, my cup is crazy full right now and this and everything. But then even in those hard times of, like, ugh, why am I even doing this right now? And then, like, that verse will pop up and be like, that's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, I don't know. I like that one.
It's a good one. Okay, I have like two I'm kind of like going back and forth with. One's a story and one's like a verse. But I love the story of Peter and Jesus walking on water.
That's my other one.
Yes. And him like having Peter, like, okay, Peter, step out onto the water, and then like Peter doubts and he falls and all that stuff, just because I feel like that's so me. I'm so Peter in that story of like, yeah, okay, like I want to come out and like I kind of trust you, but then like, oop, nope, I'm gonna fall, and like he like is there to pick me up, and like, and the way, isn't there something in that, I know we were talking about it on one of the episodes with Ian when he came and talked about it,
yes,
but basically like he let him fall.
But like, it wasn't, but like, he wasn't, there wasn't a lag in Jesus coming to get him.
Right.
Like Jesus, even though Jesus was on the boat and Peter was looking at him, yeah, when Peter fell, it wasn't like it took time for right. Jesus to get there. Like, Jesus yeah. was immediately
right.
there.
Right. Yeah, I really love that. And I just feel like it just has so much meaning to it when you dig it apart. And I just want to, I need to go back and read it. But then the other verse I always love, and it's on my Instagram, but is Romans 12:2. And it's, do not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind and know his, like, good and perfect will, something like that. I'm going to mess it up. But I've loved that verse for so many years. But yeah, I just think it's so cool when you do kind of get stuck in the world a lot, at least I do. And then just reminding yourself, okay, don't be consumed with what this world is wanting and like what this world's giving you, but like allow God to transform you, and then you're gonna know what to do. Like, you're gonna know his will and you're gonna know his plan, and like kind of he's got it. So that always gives me comfort, and I always find something I like different about it when I read it. So
yeah, that's awesome. Those are great ones. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Yeah, that's good. A good question.
Love it. We have some questions here written down from some friends.
Okay. I'm gonna remember mine. It's on my phone, but my phone is doing live. Oh. Okay, so my friend Lizzie. Hi, Lizzie. She asked us, how do we balance like school, social, and faith life? Because she said a lot of times like she'll get all of her school done, but then she's like, oh, like I really need to like focus on Christ, but like tired, or I need to do this, or like I need to do more homework. Like, so basically, how do we balance all of that?
I
struggle with that a lot.
Yeah.
I kind of, sometimes it's exhausting. Like, yeah, I think I sometimes do too much. But I would say I do what I know I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can kind of fill in other things.
Yeah.
And I kind of know I have a set prayer things. Like, I make it a point to, like, pray before I go to bed, so I know that's my prayer time. So if I don't have any other time during the day to pray, like, I know I'm going to pray before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of make that a priority, and then I, like, try to fit in prayer other ways in the day. So, like, I know on Wednesdays at noon I'm going to go to Mass, and I know on Mondays I'm going to say the Rosary. And, like, so just, like, finding those things in your week that you can schedule in, kind of, like, scheduling in prayer. It sounds kind of weird, but, like, mm-hmm, I do that. And just, like, reminding yourself that you can be flexible, and, like, even if you have a plan for the day, like, it can change and stuff comes up, and it's not the end of the world if you don't stick to that plan. I feel like it's huge for me.
Absolutely. Yeah, similar to you, Maggie. Like, in the mornings, I try to take that time when I'm getting ready to just kind of, like, be a prayer, like, just talk to God about, like, okay, like, what should I do today? What do you want me to do today? You know, anything that's on my mind, kind of get out in the open then. Mm-hmm. So it's not, like, looming on me all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then saying, like, Wednesdays at noon, Mass, Rosary, you know, I know I'm going to be doing those things, those scheduled things. And then always try to, I pray before bed or do a novena or something like that. But I really like how you said, like, you're going to find your schedule times, then you're going to fill in others.
Yeah.
But I feel like definitely, like, by making faith, like, your priority, I feel like everything else then just falls kind of perfectly into place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like in high school, I didn't make it a priority, and I felt like I never had enough time to do everything, mm-hmm, but I was doing, like, half the things I do now. Like, right. I felt like I did not do a lot at all. And now, mm-hmm, I'm doing, like, all these different things, but somehow I have enough time in the day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very much so a person who is not good about scheduling things. It kind of almost stresses me out to have a schedule for my day, and, like, I don't know. I'm just not great about that. And, I don't know, I've kind of been, like, wrestling with the idea of, it's very hard for me to schedule a time for prayer. Like, very difficult for me to do that, because it's hard for me to just, like, if I'm in a time of day where, like, I don't really know what to bring up right now, and that's the scheduled time that I have, I'm kind of stuck.
Right.
So my favorite thing to do is, like, every, I don't know, it's just for somehow, some reason, something comes up that, like, I can just pray on my way to class, or something happens that I have a minute and I'm like, oh, I really need to go to the chapel right now, and then I go. So, like, somehow he makes it all work that absolutely. I get my prayer in throughout the day, but yeah. I don't have a scheduled time for it.
Right.
So, I don't know. It's definitely, like, as far as that question goes, like, how do you juggle it all? Like, I think it's very different from person to person.
Absolutely.
Because, like, for somebody, it might stress someone out to schedule a time for homework, but they're very good about getting it done when they have time. And the same mm-hmm. thing for prayer and the same thing for social life. Right. So I think it's finding what works and what doesn't work for you. I know I feel like that's, like, the typical, like, cliche answer right. for it. But I think there's no better way to learn than from experience.
Absolutely.
So of trying different things. And it's not going to be helpful to kind of stay in your own bubble of, like, doing the same thing over and over and over.
And I've found I've had to change things up. Like, right. sometimes aren't working. Or they'll work for, like, a couple months. And then I'm like, that doesn't work anymore.
Right, yeah. No, exactly. Right.
And we talked about this at our book study of prayer doesn't really have to go into, like, a box. Like, prayer doesn't mean you have to be sitting alone, like, just, like, in conversation with Jesus. It can be smiling at someone. It can be opening the door for someone. And it can be, like, recognizing, like, the joy that you're feeling in a certain moment is right. Christ in you. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's really helpful.
Right.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that'll make Jesus so happy for you to be like, hey, I know that was you.
Yeah.
Did she have a question about books or something too?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Or what? Like what? Are like our favorite books or devotionals?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I really liked. I don't even know if I finished it, but what I did read over the summer of Emotional Virtue by Sarah Swafford. That's so good, Lizzie. If you want that, you can have it. It's at my house. I'll give it to you. But that is just it. Really good because it lays out like a lot of stuff that isn't talked about with relationships and. Maybe how we should think as Christians. I think it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So that one for sure.
I thought the book we did last semester, I Choose the Sky.
Mm. That's
it
really
talked
good.
About all the women, but like 17 or 18 women of the Bible in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And it just broke it down really nice. It gave it gave the reading of where that woman was in the Bible, like her story in the Bible. And then it went through kind of a modern day reflection of that. And then questions at the end for each chapter. And so it was very manageable to read, like one chapter a week or whatever right. However you want to set it up. And I learned a lot of stories that I hadn't heard before
Absolutely.
And about a lot of women. And I thought it was really cool how we could relate them back to our lives today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I Choose the Sky by Emily Wilson.
Yeah. And then also on Emily Wilson, Go Bravely. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome, awesome,
really
awesome book. She just, again, is real, like lays it out and then, she just like real life examples, does it in a very kind but like understanding way,
right? And very straightforward though.
Very
she doesn't like sugarcoat
right.
things, but
right. she's yeah. like, I've been there. I know how you feel, and like, here's how to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Emily Wilson overall,
she's yeah, awesome.
So good,
awesome.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really been on my reading game lately. If I'm being completely honest, yeah, no. I don't know. I don't really have any new ones. Just, like we've mentioned before, for the book study, I really like Girl Arise so far.
Yeah.
The book by, what's her name?
Claire Swarinski.
Claire Swarinski.
Yeah.
It's hard
yeah.
to say her last name, but yeah.
It's really cool. So, I'm excited to keep reading that and figure that out.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
It's been good. Thanks for the question, Lizzie.
Yeah, thanks, Lizzie. I love you.
And then, Ken, did you have a few questions on your phone?
Oh, Jonah asked. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
Favorite Christian song.
Oh.
That's a good one.
I love so many. I feel like it changes every couple months or every couple weeks.
I've been bopping to Scars by I Am They.
I love that one.
That is so good. I'm like, yes!
Yeah, that's an awesome one.
And Anything by Lauren Daigle.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness,
you took the words right out of
my mouth. Seriously though, yeah.
Right out of my mouth.
I've had her playlist on repeat these past like 3 days.
Yes,
it's
I
so
love
good.
Rescue. I love You Say. I love Look
oh,
Up
Lord.
Child.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah. What is the other one? She
I love
has a
Rebel Heart.
Rebel Heart.
Trust in You. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love all
so
of them.
So good.
She
so
has
good.
One where she does a duet with someone, and I gave it to Alex to maybe do on a Sunday. And it's called, I think it's called like You Have My Surrender. Oh my gosh.
What did I send to you?
I heard it. So good. There's this line. There's this line in this one that goes, like, you have brought me to my knees, or like for all the times I don't know. I just love it so much.
Yeah,
so good.
I have one more that Gianna's finding for me.
Perfect. That's a good question.
That Jonah sang in mass, and we were like, oh, every time. What's that one?
The waves. The clip.
Yeah, running in circles.
Running in circles.
Dude, that one gets me.
So good.
Don't dream it's over. Okay, Don't Dream It's Over by Lauren Daigle is
that's
also
good
one. Very good.
Okay. I've heard that. That's
good so good.
Yeah. So yeah, really look up all the Lauren Daigle songs. Oh, she's so good.
Yeah.
My contacts are going fuzzy.
Thank you, JB.
Thanks for your question.
Thanks, JB.
What's the one where it's like, from the fear? Like, it's an
awful oh, it's from the fear first. Of having oh. nothing. Deliver me.
Oh, God.
Isn't
so
that
good.
Audrey
Assad?
Yeah.
I was going to say Audrey so Assad. Good. She is awesome.
Yes,
so good. It's Deliver Me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bomb.
Oh, also song. The song Still by Haley something.
Oh, Hillary Scott.
Hillary.
Hillary and Scott. Family.
Yes.
Good one.
Oh, I could talk about music
Deliver
all the
me.
Time.
Deliver Me, yeah.
Good job, JB.
Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. So good.
Taking it back a notch. Favorite holiday foods.
Holiday Ooh. Foods. Like, are we? What are we talking? Like Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter.
I don't know.
All of them. Okay, let's think.
I'll start. My family's Italian, so we have lasagna at every holiday.
What?
And it's my grandma's lasagna. It's so good. It's classic. It makes you happy.
Mm.
It's lasagna.
Love yeah. that
from Grandma Mary. It's the best. It's the best thing ever.
I yeah. hope everyone has Italian food on Christmas.
Right. It's like, wait, you don't have lasagna or rigatoni?
That's how I thought about Easter. I thought everyone had Polish sausage because, like, we're Polish and we always have Polish sausage on Easter, but no one else does, apparently, if you're not Polish.
Strange. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
My favorite holiday food would probably be a shoe.
Mashed potatoes?
Oh, I freaking love mashed potatoes, but probably pierogies at Easter because they have mashed potatoes in the pierogies.
Oh,
so good. So probably pierogies at Easter are my favorite, if I had to pick one.
I think I'm going to go with our sweet potato casserole.
Ooh.
With, like, I think it's, like, pecans and brown sugar on top or something.
Ooh.
But I think that's the perfect food to, like, eat with your meal, and then once all of the meal has, like, soaked in, you just want, like, that little extra something.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Boom.
That's the one. So, a little tangent, but Adam wanted to know. And I think one maybe we could save for another episode that my mom asked, but I really like is the, maybe you can tell us about your faith history or, like, faith story.
Ooh. Yeah.
I think
we
that
should
could
do a
be,
whole episode.
Yeah,
episode,
so good episode. Question, Mom.
That's an awesome question, and we love you.
Yes. Yeah. And so, like, this one, I guess, kind of goes to the other one for my mom and my sister, but it says, special things that influenced you when you were growing up. And Jenna's question kind of ties in, like, what inspires you now? You know?
Okay. So, influence us growing up, and then what inspires us now? Whoa, I love those.
They're good.
Good question.
This makes me, like, step back and think.
Yeah.
Growing up, not that I'm not today, but I feel like more so growing up, I was very inspired by, or very influenced in good ways and bad ways, I would say, by my family and friends. I was very influenced by what my parents thought about, like, even stories my grandma would talk about of, like, her upbringing. I loved learning about, like, my grandparents' lives. I thought that was very cool. And then just, like, all my friends, I think I was very heavily influenced by my friends' opinions. So, like, I remember, like, whatever clothes my friends were wearing, like, I needed to wear those clothes. Even if, like, I myself wouldn't want that. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a very sporty girl. You know me. Like, I'm not very, like, I'm not a girl that would just wear, like, athletic shorts and a t-shirt. Like, that's just not my style. Right. But, like, growing up when, like, that was the thing to do, like, you best better believe I was in shorts and a t-shirt. Because that's what people did. And so, like, I would say that was a lot of growing up just, like, going to the next thing of what was cool kind of thing.
Right.
But what inspires me now? I don't know. Maybe you guys answer your childhood thing I have to think about.
Yeah.
Honestly, my childhood, same as you. Family and friends, absolutely. And, like, my older sisters, like, what were they doing? I remember specifically one day I came from school and I saw my sister Aubrey and she was eating mint chocolate chip ice cream out of a sugar cone. And I was like, if Aubrey has it, I have to have it because I have to be just like Aubrey. So awesome. Definitely my sisters and my cousins, because they were like my age, and absolutely my friends. So definitely like who you're around, absolutely.
Yeah, 100% agree. Like with that of, especially it's like, I feel like I was very much so influenced by my older sisters, and like, we went to the same high school and same college as each other. I don't know. But yeah, no, I don't know. I just always look up to them, and like, in my own way. Sometimes they would say like, oh no, she totally doesn't, but that's our relationship.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, like, I don't know. Just always never wanting to like disappoint them as a little sister, and just wanting to be close to them, and like also kind of struggling and being influenced with like knowing like how close they are as well, and like knowing that I need to reach out more, and just kind of like learning and growing through that ever since I was little has kind of influenced the way that I am and how involved I am with family and this and that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, what inspires me now, I would say a lot of different things. I feel like an obvious one would be our faith and just learning more about it every day. I feel like I learn something new seriously every day. And just learning from the saints, I feel like they've been really inspiring me, because that's not something I did in high school. I never learned. I never really read about the saints. I didn't really understand the saints. The only saint I really knew or had any connection to whatsoever was Saint Anthony, because my grandma used to always say, pray to Saint Anthony when you lose somebody, but or lose something. And so that was the only really saint I knew about. Even my confirmation saint, which was Saint Therese, which I didn't realize was Saint Therese until this last year, because I didn't really know a lot about Saint Therese. Anyway, that's a whole story. But I would say just learning about the saints in general has been really inspiring to me, and how they lived their lives is really cool. And just books, different spiritual books that have inspired me. And yeah, all of you guys every day.
Yeah, I guess I feel like the same thing. Same. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, I think there have been so much growth in like my life and attitude and the way like my personality and stuff ever since coming here and meeting everybody, because... Oh, no.
Oh, jits. Do you need a charger?
Okay.
Oh.
We're good. We're good.
We're just going to need to wrap it up.
We have 20% of the last forever.
Okay. 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 Yeah. If not, we got a charger over there.
We're good.
Plug her in. Okay.
But yeah, totally the same. And like, so much growth within this last year and this year of just being open to listening to other people that I may not, like, so you can learn so much from everybody around you, and that's not something I focused on until like this few years, because it's always been my thing of like, I don't know, sometimes I have like a teensy bit of like social anxiety where it's like every time someone's talking to me I have to like be thinking about what I'm gonna say next instead of like worrying about, you know, like worrying about what I'm doing with my body and this and that, but like ever since then, like, of just meeting you people and no, you people. Sorry.
Not friends.
Just meeting you people.
Not acquaintances. You people.
You weird people. No.
Like, meeting everybody at Newman and seeing like how much I learn from every single person I meet and don't meet and pass on the street and this in bars. But you know what I mean?
Bar?
Yeah, meet and don't meet and pass on the street. Anyway. But for real though, yeah, I think that's the big thing of like just the people around me I've learned that are so inspiring.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, like hearing everyone's stories at Newman, like how they express their faith, like what they do, what they don't do, and being like, oh, like I think like maybe that way of praying would work for me. And just like seeing how other people do it, and also still very heavily my family. Like I know I'd be like, oh, be cooking in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, I'm Valerie, I'm my mom now. And then I know just like yesterday we were walking through the parking lot and I was like, oh, like my one sister would comment on that like in this way, and then my other sister would comment that way, and you're all like, you're like a happy medium.
Yeah, she's definitely, she's got her sister Aubrey and then her sister Molly, and she is, I think, a perfect mixture.
So definitely still influenced by my sisters, because I still absolutely look up to them.
Is that all we had?
I think we got some questions. Oh. Information names, and why did you pick those?
That's
a good question.
That's a good question.
So I wasn't too like thrilled and involved with my faith when I got confirmed, unfortunately. So I picked Saint Catherine of Bologna. I think that's how you say it. Looks like Bologna. But she's the patron saint of art. Whoa. So that's why I picked her. And she's from Italy, so I mean, I have more connections with her than I thought.
That's cool.
But I really need to look more into her, because I haven't really thought about it a lot since then.
Yeah.
But
that's awesome.
Hi. Oh, our roommates are back. Hey. We're doing Insta Live if you want to pop in and say hi.
Oh, I'm not live right now.
So I chose St. Monica for my confirmation sponsor, and that's St. Augustine's mother. Mm. And I don't know exactly the main reason why I chose her, which is, like, kind of crazy because it wasn't, like, usually people do pick, like, oh, patron saint of something you're interested in or something right. like that. But I think one of, I don't know why it was so crazy that she really appealed to me. And then, like, St. Augustine, my uncle is an Augustinian priest, you know. So I was like, there was, like, kind of a connection there. It was kind of cool. Look up to my uncle. I think it's really cool. But then, like, come to, like, reflect on it. And, like, once we learned more about the saints this year and stuff, St. Monica is, like, her story is crazy, as in, like, praying constantly. Like, she is so incredibly skilled at prayer, of, like, has it down and is so consistent with it, and something that I so long to be like, just learning about, like, my prayer habits and what I do and don't do and this and that. And that's something that, like, means so much to me even now, and that's, like, so crazy that I don't even know why I picked her before, right, you know what right. I mean? And, like, I remember one of my cards being like, oh, someday I want to be really great in prayer like her, of, like, my little, like, 8th grade projects, and, like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know? She's amazing. Oh, she's so awesome. Yeah.
Seriously.
I hadn't heard about her until you told me about her.
Yeah,
she's awesome. So mine was definitely the Holy Spirit, and, like, I don't even know how I ended up picking her, but somehow I ended up picking St. Therese. But it's kind of a weird story, is because I knew I wanted a St. Teresa is what I wanted, because my grandma's middle name is Teresa, and my great-grandma on the other side, her name was Teresa, and I just look up to my grandma so much, and I was like, okay, I want to find a St. Teresa. And so we had to do a project on the saint for our confirmations. We had to look up all this information about them, and I remember trying to, like, look up St. Teresa, and for some reason in my searches, like, you'd think I would pick, like, St. Teresa of Avila, because she's just a very, like, common, like, St. Teresa, whatever.
Right.
But for some reason, I came across St. Therese, but when I was reading about her, like, when I was reading about it online, I thought her name was Therese. And I thought it was just, like, the French spelling. And I asked my teacher, I was like, can I use this? Because it's, like, the French version of Teresa or whatever. And my teacher was like, oh, yeah, like, that works. That'll work for Teresa, whatever. And I was like, okay. So I ended up picking her. And I remember when I was doing my report, just I remember hearing a lot about, like, the little flower, like, St. Therese of the Little Flower. Didn't really think anything of it. Like, did my report. Kind of forgot totally about the report I did. I just knew I had this St. Therese, whatever, as my saint. And then coming to Newman, I remember hearing about, like, St. Therese of the Little Flower, and I was like, wait, what? Like, that's her? And so I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, wait, she was my confirmation sponsor. Like, I didn't even realize it. And she's, like, had such a huge impact on me, but I just think it was really cool because I kind of stumbled upon her on accident, and she wasn't even what I was really looking for when I went to pick a saint. But
that's awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's
really, it was crazy. Cool. Wrap it up?
Yeah.
I think probably. So.
Okay. We have a Bible verse, which is on Mary Rose's phone, but we can look it up on my computer right here.
Yeah.
It was... Oh, Kenzie's got it.
Oh, we have 2 minutes remaining.
2 minutes remaining?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's going to cut us off.
Hurry. It's going to cut us off?
Yeah.
Find a verse.
Okay, I'm going to find a prayer.
French about. Proverbs Bible verse. Type that in. French Proverbs.
I can't do well under pressure.
Bible.
Oh, Jetsu, I don't want that. Back. I don't want that.
Oh, no.
I think it's something.
Sweet friendship refreshes the soul.
Yeah. Okay.
Our Bible verse of the week is, a sweet friendship refreshes the soul.
And that is Proverbs.
Verse 27.
Nine. Chapter.
Chapter 27, verse 9. Just about good friends.
Refreshing the soul.
Find those friends that refresh your soul. Also, our challenge for your week for next week is going to be to challenge your friends by, like, asking them questions and learning more about them and strengthening your friendship in that.
Yes.
Okay, and prayer. Then our prayer that we're going to pray.
You have 41 seconds left.
Okay, don't worry.
Okay.
Do we want to just do it on the heart one?
Yeah.
Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this time together and for these friends here with us and these friends over the internet and that are listening today.
Thank you for helping us grow together, and we pray that your love touches all those who hear this and all those who need you or who do not know about you. We ask that you show us your love this week and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
17 viewers. Oh,
no, we just barely made the live. Oh, but it was good though.
Wait. So, as always, it's been real. Thanks for listening. From Maggie,
Mary Rose,
and Mackenzie.
And always remember
to be authentic,
be faithful,
and be bold.